As we come to this Vision Sunday, I have this strong sense, and the leadership do too, of just a longing for God to lead us forward from all of this that we've been going through. You know, the heart of COVID, the up, the down, everything. We know that God doesn't waste struggle, and God, you want to do something powerful in our midst. Are you like me? Are there things you'd like to see happen again or move forward from and all that? And there's such a longing, I think, on the part of all of us at different levels and in different areas to say, God, I want to see this, or I want to experience this, or I'd like this to happen. The question is, when you come to a Vision Sunday, is do we rightly want what God wants for our church? And to really come to that place of surrender and say, God, what is it that you want to do at Elgin Evangelical Free Church at this moment now? I read a story this week about a king, and the king had two servants who were kind of primary in his kingdom, and they both longed to please the king. And so they both got up very early one morning, and the first servant, not wanting to bother the king, just immediately got up and got going. He just got going stuff. The second one was equally up early, but he turned and he made sure that he checked in with the king, and he asked the king specifically what he longed to see be done. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, the results were so different. You see, the first one did a lot of things, but only a few of them were connected to the king's heart. The second one spent the entire day joyful over fulfilling what was on the king's heart, knowing that it was directly connected to what mattered. The question that we have to come to as we come to a Vision Sunday is what we want, what God wants. Because we want to be a church, do you agree with me, that wants to live in the midst of whatever God brings us, whether it is seasons of hard or seasons of change or up and down, we want to live confidently pursuing the will of God. Amen? That's what we want. We're asking God for that. And it's hard to lay that all before Him when we all have a pretty big list. But I want you to come with me as we walk through six steps, kind of unpacking the vision that God has given the leadership at this moment, at this time, for our church. And so I want to begin with the very heart of our vision, the heart of our vision. What is the core of what we believe God has called us to do and to be as a church? It's this: doing life in Christ together. Doing life in Christ together. Not one of those words is unimportant. First of all, we do not want to be a theoretical church. We don't want to talk about life in Christ. As exciting as it is to discuss the truth, we are called to be doing life in Christ together. Do you agree? It has to be practical. It has to be something we are investing in and applying. It needs to be real. We need to be doing. Doing what? Life in Christ. Why the phrase life in Christ? Because, friends, life in Christ is salvation. Another way of saying that is salvation is the life of Christ in you. Salvation is not simply the transaction where your sins are forgiven. It is your old life, the dead in sin you, being let go, and now your life is described as life in Christ, being found in Him. Galatians 2:20 is an awesome verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Salvation is experiencing Christ's life, His joy, His hope, His power, His will, His plan, His way. And it's a much better life than ours, amen? It's life in Christ. Well, guess what? It's also something that you need to understand is that salvation is the life of Christ in you. But understand this, salvation is not experienced alone. Friends, at salvation, you went from a singular to a plural. You went from isolated and alone, dead in your sin, to suddenly being part of God's family, part of the body of Christ. Meaning what? You do not make any sense alone. All that God wants to unpack and give you in His life cannot be experienced apart from the body of Christ. You have been saved to the very thing that God is building, and He wants to use that body and have you participate in that body for His glory. Let me give you this illustration. How many of you have ever seen an incubator? You know, all the little eggs, and then they hatch, and you got little chicks running around. Guess what? The body of Christ is God's incubator. And He desires you to be given life, and that life to the fullest. It is empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. He is the energy of that thing. But in the context of it, everything that God intends for you to experience, He wants to grow in a body. 1 Peter 2, 4, and 5 say this, you know, that we are coming to Him as living stones. That's like dead stones that are now alive. And He says, what are we now doing? We're being built up as a spiritual house for service and worship to God. You have become part of something. What you need to understand is that you can't grow apart from the body. You can get truth, you can get everything, but you cannot become all that God wants you to be. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul describes this incubation environment fed by the Holy Spirit and experienced by God's people. Think of this. It's an environment of love. Ephesians 4, 2, showing tolerance and love for one another. It's an environment of truth. Ephesians 4, 25, speaking truth to one another. We are those who are under the truth of God, and because it's His Word that sanctifies us, we're being led forward. Ephesians 4, 32, it's an environment of forgiveness. Friend, your sin is no longer the ceiling of your experience of togetherness because we forgiving one another, being forgiven by God. Ephesians 5:19, it is an environment of worship, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the encouragement of being drawn up into God. And then finally, Ephesians 5:21, and being subject to one another, it's an environment of selflessness. Talk about an absolute 180-degree opposite of what it means to be lost apart from God. You see, when you were just alone in your trespasses and sins, you are in an environment that is not loving. You are in an environment where there is no truth but your truth. So you're just stuck with your best version of circumstances. It is not an environment of forgiveness. Consider this, to be left without the power of forgiveness is to carry all of your own guilt over all your own broken, and by the way, all the other broken that has come against you because other people, and no way out. There's no wonder why people are lost and alone in this world. It's not an environment of worship. It's an environment of self-worship. To be in sin is to be stuck with the worship of you, and there is no being subject to one another, no selflessness. It's all about you. And friends, if you worship yourself and you make yourself the issue and you have to be sufficient for everything, you are one sad puppy. Amen? Well, guess what? We are called to do life together, life in Christ together. What is the power of that? The gospel says that this is even the most powerful testimony of the power of God, is us going from isolation, moving into this life of Christ and doing it together. How many of you are familiar with John 13, 34 and 35, where it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Why? That all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Friends, the vision we believe God is calling us to, and that should be the very DNA of this church, is that we are doing life together, life in Christ together. That is what should mark us. That should be the joy of our existence. That should be the target that we're after. That's important. And it will be as we are together that people will go, what have you got? What is this gospel? Who is this Jesus that can so transform and set you free to grow? Well, if we're going to do that, then how do we get more specific about it? What are the specific things that we believe that God is calling us to do and to focus in at all times? Well, there's a wonderful phrase. It's on your bulletin, but it's also up there. Doing life in Christ together means what? Christ-centered transformation, becoming more like Jesus, that removes isolation, elevates discipleship, and engages with the gospel. These three things are the very pillars that we want to build into intentionally, specifically, and at all times as a church. So let me describe them to you. Removing isolation. You're going to hear Ephesians so much because it's such a beautiful picture of this. But what does it mean to remove isolation? Well, that's the gospel. The gospel removes you from being an outsider and alone in your sin. Amen? To receive salvation means that you were apart and now you're in. You were out, now you're in, and you're no longer alone. You're one who partakes in the family of God. I love that. Ephesians 2 demonstrates that. Dead in your trespasses and sins, made alive in Jesus Christ. But you get down into the latter half of Ephesians 2, and something powerful takes place. We're not just removed from our isolation because of sin. That very sin that would seek to keep us apart is met in the power of the cross, and we actually get to be together in relationship. In Ephesians 2, it talks about how there are the Gentiles and the Jews, and they were far away from each other, and they couldn't have relationship with each other based upon sin and brokenness and tradition and everything else. Hey, church, what in the world gives you confidence that we can get along? What?
Jesus.
We have Christ so that all of our differences don't leave us in isolation. We share in being together through the power of God, through the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. So what does that mean? It means that the church is unlike any other place, and specifically God wants our church to be a place where we have the freedom to do this crazy, powerful thing. What is it? Grow. How many of you are aware you don't look enough like Jesus yet? Look in the mirror. That's all of us. How many of you know you're walking around this church and nobody's really gotten close to your true broken? I mean, what would happen if we really dealt with sin? How could I trust to be broken with you? I mean, you're different from me. You're not. How could that? I mean, so I got to man up. I just got to need to get myself righteous, don't I? I just need to be sufficient for this Christian life. And why do I feel so far away from you guys? Because I can't do it on my own. Anybody resonate? All right. So God is calling us forward to a confidence that is not in ourselves, but in the Holy Spirit. I've used this illustration before. All my life, growing up as a young boy into a teenager, one of the greatest gifts my father ever gave me was always picking me on his team. And he was the pastor of the church, so he always was the captain, you know. But he was a great basketball player, and I remember growing up from the earliest days, I would be out there, and it would be all men in our church and this little boy. And guess who always got picked first? Me. By my father. And I played in so many games I had no business being part of. I did not have the maturity. I did not have the strength. I did not have the skill set. There was no reason I should ever be in there. And you know how many games I won? All because of my dad. Friends, what is Christianity? Is being removed from the sphere, fear of the brokenness and the immaturity in our lives and being picked by Jesus Christ the righteous and Him saying, my Holy Spirit is sufficient for you, and you now get to participate in that which you are not mature enough to get to, that you are not qualified to understand, and you have no business being part of that healthy relationship. I mean, it's you. Come on. And the world goes, how can you be together? How can you be moving past isolation? God's called us to that. Amen? Well, what has He called us to do? Why has He brought us out of darkness into the light? Why has He saved us? What is it that we do together? Have you ever wondered that? All right, we're all forgiven and Jesus is sufficient for our sins. Now what? What are we doing? Second thing, we're elevating discipleship. Elevating followership. Friends, the church is together to look more like Christ, to grow up into the fullness of our salvation. It is, yes, you are saved, but we should be in this process of constantly being called forward to look like Christ, to be followers of Christ. How does that happen? We shared with our new members class this last time that there were two things that were both qualifications and visual realizations of you being a member of the church of God. What were they? Sanctification and service. Sanctification and service. It is that we are together to be transformed by Jesus. Do you agree with that? You are in the room to be called forth and to be transformed in the renewing of your mind, Scripture says. So how does that happen? We're doing it today. We're getting under the Word of God. We're doing that all over the place. We are coming together to be challenged, to be called forth by the truth of God. That's what He wants. But we don't just leave it there. We're not theoretical Christianity. We are learning, and then we are turning around and serving. How many of you know God saved you on purpose? You believe that? You were not existing to just float in here on a Sunday morning and float out. You know, there they float. Bye. Just hovering Christians. No. You were created, God says in Ephesians 2:10, you are His workmanship. That you were created on purpose and made alive in Jesus Christ, that you would serve Him to the praise of His glory, that you, yeah, you would be used by God. Friends, all of the 106 one another's in the New Testament are what we do. We are being transformed and we are serving one another. You engaged in loving the body, in being part of what God is doing here, in serving Christ, both within this building and outside of that building. You becoming intimately involved in the building up of the body of Christ. And what happens when those two components are in operation? How many of you have ever heard of having spiritual gifts? Think that's an important part of the body? In fact, the Bible says, if you don't show up, we're limping. If you don't show up, we're not eating. And if you don't God wants you to discover, and friends, this is so wonderful. He wants you to discover life in Christ. You moving beyond broken with the help of the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ, and now being engaged in the gospel ministry, the kingdom of heaven, the most vital thing, and discovering that God had a plan for you the whole time. And a unique way He wanted to use you. And He wanted to release you in this body. And He wanted you to have the joy of not being sufficient for the whole thing, but to be part and to belong. How many of you know the ache of not belonging? How do you know the wonder of belonging? That's what God's called us to. We cannot get to that point if we are a church that leaves each other in isolation. It cannot happen. Because if that happens, it's only surface. We can't do that. See, it's the power of God discovered in His ability to handle the brokenness in our life that releases us into true relationship, where we believe that God has got purpose for us and we're striving to follow Him together, and suddenly we're serving one another, and suddenly we are part of this dynamic process, and I'll give you the word, of change. And where will it lead us? It will lead us to this third one, engaging with the gospel. I do not want you to miss this. The gospel is not an event. Amen? The gospel is not simply a string of words that happen to be amazingly true. That Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture. That He was buried. That He rose again. Yes, that is the hope of the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the most radical, gracious, loving invitation ever made on the planet to dead people who never deserved it. It is God laying down His life for you and saying, would you take My life? Would you take it And you want to come participate in it because this is the power of change. This is the power that doesn't leave you where you're isolated. Now imagine a church that proclaims that but doesn't remove isolation, doesn't elevate discipleship, and then comes to the point where they're supposed to engage a community in the gospel. And what's the invitation? Come be with us! Because it's going to be fun. Because you'll meet some nice people. We got a stellar program for this. Food's awesome. Just wait till after the service. Come be. They're dying. They're stuck. They've been there, done it, got the t-shirt. What have they not come to? The power of God to release a life from sin and broke it and make it belong with purposefulness and glory. Amen? You think of the invitations you've got that meant so much to you as a kid. Do you remember when you got invited to the birthday party? Do you remember when that person came to you and said, hey, you want to come? And what it did for you to be invited and longed for and everything else. Friends, if we are to be a church that is engaging with the gospel, then what are we inviting them to? Come hear our pastor. He shouts. At least you'll stay awake. You know? No. It is when we, not on Sunday mornings alone, are vitally engaged in each other's lives for the purpose of removing isolation and discovering Christ and moving into our broken and beyond our broken. And we know that this is a place where the Spirit of the living God, I'm different than I was. I'm knowing Christ. I'm being set free in the middle of this crazy world. You want to come? Do you want to come? Because that message is what the world desperately needs. We believe that these three pillars are where God has called us to move purposefully and directionally ahead as a church. And we are asking God for great courage and tenacity to do it, because doing life in Christ together that does this leaves us in a place where God can do whatever He wants. Amen? That's what we believe. So let me tell you this next thing, though. There is a hard in this vision. A difficulty, a pain. It's nuanced. Every church has them. But you know what our hard is? It's the very thing we're asking God for. Change. What's the hard that you run up against when you seek to go, God, we want to follow You and we want to be purposeful about this? Well, what's the pill that has to be swallowed? What's the scary that has to be engaged that causes fear in our heart and distance sometimes in the church? It's change. In our community right now, and just our church, we've been exposed by change. It's interesting that here we have a whole vision built on the fact that God does cool stuff in change. But the very thing that got us angsty is change. Honestly, when you think across the board, some of what COVID has done, it has taken people in our church out of their place of service. It has left people on islands. It has created distance. It's created questions. Why are you doing things that way? Why isn't this happening? Where do I belong? Who am I? And I feel alone. And I may not be down on something, but I'm angsty. Anybody else with me? Let alone that the world decided to change while we went into hibernation, you know? We put our masks on and suddenly, not suddenly, but very, very clearly, a radical shift has gone on in our culture. And now anything having to do with the glory and the image of God is under attack. And frankly, we all are making hard decisions of where do I belong and what do I even invest in and how do I navigate this, because it is so awfully broken. How do we love? Seriously, who's got a plan now to reach out to the world that's clear and consistent and has thought about the fact that now the church lives in a community where people who are coming in have been trained that it is right to pursue your gender identity to the utmost, and anybody who denies that does not love God, hates God, and hates people. Welcome to the world we live in. That's a real thing. That's where kids go to school. That's where we go to work now. And we've been shoved back into a corner. How many of you would like to go back to 2010? I go back to 2008. Let's go do a recession. It's easier than this. Serious. And there creates a longing in our heart to say, I just want things back the way they were. Guess what? God doesn't want things back the way they were. He has allowed all of the hard and the angsty to come into our lives for a purpose. How many of you have heard of this verse? Behold, the Lord is doing a new thing. He wants something new. He wants something deeper. He wants something more Christ-like. He doesn't afflict without purpose. He hasn't taken us into this trial for lack of wanting to produce something. There is a hard, but we want to be on the right side of it. Amen? Now I'll get even more personal. There's been a hard that's come out of some of the pain we've experienced, and it's actually endangered us by giving us a picture of somewhat limited love. Let me explain this. Do you know that if you're new here, we're so glad you're here, but you didn't come to a perfect church. Amen? We've got our own stuff just like every church, but this church in particular, in the last 10 years, I'm the third pastor. So if you do the math, think of how many transitions this body has had to walk through. And it's not fun. And it hurts. And there's a pain that's very real. And it hurts. And it causes distance. And it causes issues of trust. And imagine being an elder in a season like that, when every time you're trying to love the body and move forward, the bottom falls out. And suddenly brokenness is there. And how do we handle pain? And so I tell you what, when I talk about people wanting change, some of us are just like, can't something just work? Can't we just get on with it? Why are we struggling with that? I'm not God. And I'm not a hero, by the way, either. There's no separation here. There is a sense of going, God, why would you take us through that and cause real pain and then bring us to a place where to get out of that and even move forward causes us more pain, or maybe decisions we have to make? What are we doing? So here's the danger of limited love. This is what it is. And I've seen this since I've arrived as your pastor. I recognize it in my own heart. We've talked about this so much as elders. Limited love does this. It just wants you to be okay. And that's honestly it doesn't start out as any kind of negative. Do you know that you are so loved? This church has amazing resiliency to go through 10 years and still be standing. Amen? That's the grace of God. But guess what? We really do love you. We really do want you to feel like you belong here. We really do want you to be okay. But you know what? It's hard to keep, you know, walking through pain. And so what can happen is you can begin to build a version of love that comes up to you and goes, are you okay? You're good, right? You breathing? You good? Okay. Hey, glad to hear that. You doing good? You know, we're moving things. You know, glad to hear that. Hey, let's all be together and let's be okay. And you never start that process out of anything but a love for the people you've watched go through pain. Here's the problem. We're not okay. How many of you got broken? How many of you know you don't look like Jesus the way you should? How many of you have been at it for a long time? There are real gaps and there's real broken pieces in your life. And some of them are sinful. Some of them are not. Some are just aloneness and isolation and feeling like I've got to be sufficient for this. But I'm telling you that a group of people who only contempt themselves to go, are you okay? Are not experiencing the power of God unleashed. Our God does broken. Our God allows us, even in our brokenness, to come together and to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, experience our God. And where is the testimony of the gospel in a group that's just okay? We want to be the church that is inviting people who are not getting landlocked in their aloneness or being left to somehow be sufficient, but brought in close and going, hey, let me take you to this. Let me take you over to, you know, this idea of hope. The next point, the hope of our vision. God uses brokenness to display His glory and unleash the power of the gospel. God uses brokenness to display His glory. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul is so frustrated by weakness. Anybody else here ready to be done with some weakness? I don't like trials. All these things in my life that I want to be undone. I want to be better at this, and I'm not. Or I've come into this, and, okay. And then God comes and He says, no, did you get it? I saved you and justified you at salvation. I brought you into this family. So what? I could keep saving you. I can keep rescuing you. I can keep transforming you. I can keep giving you the confidence to move forward in Christ. And guess what? My power, the gospel, is put on display in the midst of broken. And a church that is not afraid of it because they are in love with their Savior. Amen? Do we believe that, church? Because that is what God wants to do. He wants to give us a hope that no matter what we do, as we pursue this vision of doing life in Christ together, that it is true. That it is really about authentically getting into relationship with each other, really authentically about not leaving people where they are, but calling them up and encouraging them forward and being part of that process, discovering that you are gifted and called by God in service so that we would celebrate and be about inviting people to join us. I don't care what we look like in this community. I don't care if we look like another church in this community. I don't care the bells and whistles. I want to see the power of God change people. You with me? God wants that. And guess what? We're not at a perfect place. Amen? We got real struggle, church. Things that got to get healed and issues that need to be dealt with and we somehow have to believe that that's exactly what God wants and our confidence to be there. All right, I went a little rogue on that one, but let's get back on target. If that is the case, and God is sufficient for brokenness, and this is a right vision of discipleship, then what is it going to look like around here in the next 6 months and a year? I'm going to give you four targets, and then in the next point, I'll unpack them a little better. Still with me? Oh, we're doing good. The food's getting ready. It's good. The four areas we are going to specifically focus on or strategically focus on in the coming 6 months to a year. The first is discipleship-focused life groups. Why? Because we need to be together where what I've described in relationships where this is truly happening, and it's the very target of what we're doing. There needs to be a new day in this world and in this church of how we are coming together. And before we swallow all the challenges of that, just hear us say that on purpose, the church together is our focus. That's the first one. The second one is this strategic focus on foundational youth and family support, youth and family ministry. Why? The world right now it's still the world. There's nothing in it that God hasn't overcome or some reason to quake. But understand that it has refined an incredible lie. And this incredible lie is being offered to all of us, whether you're in the church or out of the church. And here's the incredible lie. It's that you need to discover and determine who you are. That's the lie. You, on your own, need to discover and determine who you are. That is the highest value there is. And you will find that that lie is behind every major cultural thing that we have experienced. And the most sinister thing about that is, imagine this coming to a junior high kid. And in a family, your believing family, and your junior high kid comes home, and he has just been force-fed this reality that the most purest form of love is you experimenting with your gender and with your sexuality, because it doesn't matter what you become, it just matters that you discover you. Because if you discover you, everything else will work. Is that not the essence? Well, guess what, church? To the incredible lie, this church needs to be focused on an incredible why. A why from God. A why from God. Why has He designed you this way? Why can you rest in Him? Why? 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 What are we doing in discipleship to provide that? Because I'm guaranteeing you there's a lot of us rocked back going, what do I say? And where's my confidence? And how do we do that? So, we believe that this area at this moment is worthy of our strategic investment. Third thing, being together for the gospel. Being together for the gospel. I'll unpack this, but church, right now, we need to be together. We need to be together intentionally, and we need to be together purposefully. There needs to be a whole lot of together. I got to tell you, one of the greatest joy moments I've had in a little while, I walked downstairs last Wednesday, and the Seasoned Saints have reopened after 18 months. Glory! I was in a carb coma by the end of it. It was so awesome to have the body together in fellowship. A lot of that. I'll explain it more. Fourth thing. Strategic shepherding. If we believe that this is what God has called us to do, then are we doing the work of preparation in the area of preparing people to lead and to love in these categories? It's all great to say this stuff, but we need to work hard and go, God, how are we strategically getting ready to help our church do this? So those are the four things that we really feel like coming out of this vision that are of the moment that we want to do. So let me unpack them with you. I have 1 minute. I will take more. Okay. How are we going to do that? Well, in this point, stepping into our vision, there are two aspects of it. The first is getting ready. What are we going to do in the next months to get ready for what we believe God's called us to do? And then what are we going to just get going on right away? So in this getting ready moment, we are going to be preparing for this life group experience. What do I mean by that? We have life groups going right now. We're so grateful for them. This is an attack on our life groups. Many of the things we want to see happen are already happening in them. But we want to get strategic about getting our body engaged in doing life together. So it's going to be important that we are prepared for that. We are literally going to take the rest of this year and be inviting people strategically to join us as we prepare, as we go through training, as we refine and say, what is the heart of God that He wants to happen in these life groups? What does discipleship and moving past isolation look like? What's the target? And are we on the same page? And are we praying for it together? Then we're going to take a whole section and go, and how do we make this accessible to our body so that you can actually participate in it? And it's something that can become part of your life. Friends, life groups are not the answer of the church, but being together for the gospel is worth going after. Amen? So we're going to do that. This is going to come shortly. Be in prayer. God may be saying, you know, you're hearing what I'm saying. Your heart is going, yes. Let's do that. We're going to be inviting you. Second thing, we're going to be in pursuit of a new associate pastor. In pursuit of a new associate pastor. And this is something that has both been painful hard, because so much of what discipleship is and what we want it to look like is just a continuation of what we've had. We've been led by Pastor Mark Cotto, and he's done a wonderful job. And you say, well, why do you make a transition, and what are you going to? Because we feel like there is a bigger picture within our body that needs to be supported fully in a full-time role. We are looking for someone who will be very strategic in the discipleship and the leadership of our student youth ministry. We are not giving up on that vision, but we are also looking for someone with the gifts and the strategic ability to help us carry out vision in this whole support of our families and of our marriages. And how are we strategically doing that here as a church? When's the last time we had a parenting class, let alone one that said, hey, how do you parent kids in this culture? How are we coming alongside young families and giving them a vision of confidence for the future and walking out their faith in this world? Well, that is going to take some very strategic development and development of leaders and someone that we believe can help shepherd our body in this moment. Friends, at the end of the day, we want to love the world we're in. Amen? It's scary to do that as a parent right now. Amen? It's hard to go, where are we getting fed? Who's calling us forward? And we really believe that a bigger picture of investment is needed and is of the moment, and God's put that in front of us. So that is largely behind the fact that we are going to be in pursuit of a new associate pastor whose role will be a much larger role, but very targeted at the development of this area. Third thing we're going to do in getting ready is we're going to be coming to the body and presenting to you a shepherding intern. What is that and why? We as an elder board really are under great conviction about how we have developed other elders. And the fact that the church needs good shepherds, doesn't it? And shepherding is not just an elder thing. It's what are we doing with leadership and helping them to be strategic about this place and taking the time to develop it. Well, when it comes to the elder board, we are praying and asking God to give us a place where we can both develop someone and let the body be part of the experience with us. So the shepherding internship position will be where we take a man or men and we invite him into a 9-month process of being with the elder board. They are not an elder, but they are going to come be with us, and they are going to be given theological training that they have to do, and they are going to be experiencing what does it mean to be a shepherd and hospital visitation, and they are going to be given roles of leadership within our church, and we're going to be able to watch as a body as God confirms the gifting of this person, so that if down the road, if God is calling this person into eldership, we will all know it's of the Lord. Amen? That's exciting to me. Because whatever God wants to do in that capacity, the body affirms and calls forth elders. And we want to be intentional about shepherds who are doing the work of ministry with us and intentionally. So that is another strategic piece that's going to be coming soon. Pray for us because we have a candidate for this and we're going to be presenting him to you very shortly. It's kind of exciting. Those are all areas of strategic preparation that we want you to be part of as a church. I promise this is the end. We're going to be getting going. We're not just on pause until we get these things done. Church, God's called us to get going. So here's the thing I want you to see. We are in a time of rebuilding and refocusing ministry. COVID devastated much. We went through a process where not only people who had faithfully served in ministries, things shifted on them, roles changed, and ministry stopped. Literally, we're coming out of 18 months of non-activity. And I just need you guys to hear from the eldership. There is so much to be put back together. Not only that, then to go, God, how do you take it forward? So we are in the process and going to be in these next months starting to release ministries. We're so excited. We're excited about Connections Ministry being reformed. Do you guys know that it's been 2 years since we've had a missions team? 2 years. Dear Fred went to be with God, and the plan and how they were moving forward and all that stuff. Guys, it's time to get going with the gospel. Amen? So the invitation is going to be coming. Are you interested? Is this place, God, is, we want to pull you in and begin to see God use you and new people in our body. We're doing that. So excited about what's opened. Children's ministry, Awana, Seasoned Saint. Place are opening. Bible studies are happening. But it is a time of rebuilding. Why do I tell that to you? Because we need you. We want you. We're longing for you. We need help. And God wants to build up the framework of what we're doing in life together again. I'm so excited about that. We're going to be rebuilding and restarting. We pray for your grace as each one of these steps takes a lot of organization and structure. Second thing, we're going to continue to take steps toward an expanded Sunday ministry. Some of you, I mean, we became a two-service church in the middle of COVID. And even now, you look around the room and there's people who are not in the room because they were at a different service. Why are we doing that? A two-service model allows us to grow. It allows people to serve in our children's ministry without having to miss out on the worship. It allows us an expanded ability to connect with people and to make sure that they're part of this process. But we are also asking God, Lord, what are we going to do with the time and the shift? We used to do an adult Sunday school, and we've had different things, but we are going to begin to press into it. Next week, if you are a parent of a junior high or a high school, 9 o'clock, we are reopening classes for both our junior high and our high school. Praise God. Mike Seavey's back at it. But we're also bringing in a young man from Moody. He's a senior, and he's going to be leading our senior high students. His name's Ryan Hughes. Pray for him. He was in the last service. So exciting. We want to begin to follow the vision. The last thing I would say is practicing togetherness. This very thing that we're supposed to do, we want to do more strategically as a body. I'm going to give you an illustration. How many of you appreciate Communion Sunday? Isn't it the heart of what we do? This is what we've decided. We do it too fast. And we really believe that if God is calling us to be together as a body, then that moment, at least once a month, should be a moment of powerful connection as a body. And it means that we are going to be taking extra time in that service to do the very things we've called ourselves to do. How is God moving us past the isolation of sin? Time for brokenness and repentance. Time to come before God and say, Lord, what are you teaching me? To spend time in prayer as a fellowship, and then to take a right time of focusing on the power of cross. Then after that, literally, to have people in our congregation and the elders up here and saying, are you broken? Do you need to be prayed over? Let's do family business, and let's be a visible place where the power of God is depended upon. Amen? We want to do that. We want to be the body. That's just one thing. The other thing is we want to lift up opportunities for us to be together. How many of you got to be part of our Trunk or Treat event last year? Any of you get to do that? I hope you're all going to come to it this year. It's on a Saturday night. We eat mac and cheese. It's amazing. But really what it is that's the other extreme. There is what we do as a core family, and then there is the how we share the gospel with this community. And in every case, we want to lift up opportunities. So you're going to watch us during this holiday season try to get very creative even about how we're being together. We want to practice the very relationships that we believe God wants us to grow in. All of these things are part of the vision that God has given us. Doing life in Christ together. Let me close with this. In high school, my junior year, I got roped into a Bible study I did not want to be part of. And if you want to know why, is that I couldn't stand the people who were coming. I'm sure that's never happened to any of you. But the reason I didn't like it was I was an athlete, and my youth pastor had went and found like all of the main team captains of the school who were unsaved and invited them to do a Bible study. And they came. I hated these guys. It was awful. You know, I was just like, bunch of, you know, anyway, he's like, John, this is what God wants to do. So we get into that and we start praying. And 2 weeks later, the captain of the baseball team gives his life to Christ. It was kind of a shocking thing for me. It was very humbling. I was like, oh my, now I got to like him. Oh no, you know. But I'll tell you what happened was that Bible study became a place where these guys started out in removing isolation. And I'll never forget, because a guy named Robert came, and he was a captain of the football team, and he's sitting there one night, and this guy had been saved 2 weeks later, gets down on his knees, and he prays before God, and he's like, God, I'm such a mess. And he just starts confessing stuff that he's been carrying in his life. He's just confessing sin. He's like, I've got this problem with this, and I know this, and God, I was so awful, but thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and giving me family and brothers and everything. And right in the middle of this guy, Robert, falls off his chair into the middle of the floor and begins to weep. He's just weeping. And he looks up, and he's got tears coming down his face. He says, what is this? And then he said, I want this. And he gave his life to Christ that night. You know what? That's a wonderfully powerful, dramatic moment. Changed my life forever. But you know what it convinces me of? That God doesn't want us afraid of broken, does he, church? And we've got some. Well, that is the opportunity for God right now to move us forward together. He's calling us to be in it. To what point? To say, oh God, let me get into a context where I'm not hiding my broken, but I'm trusting you, and we discover the power of God. And Lord, if I'm moving past that thing that's hanging me up, now I'm starting to experience Christ, and I'm discovering truths that I didn't know, and I'm fellowshipping with people maybe I didn't even like, and look at that, God's so good. And wow, what will happen that the testimony of your life and the gospel would be, you want to come? Amen? Let's go. That's our privilege, our permission from God. And this area, this church, this community desperately needs this vision. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for these people. God, thank you that you have saved them. I pray that is the truth. I pray that they have just been rescued. But God, I pray that you would allow this church at this time to come to you so honestly and say, God, we can't do this. We struggle with change. It's hard. It's scary. But Jesus, you've loved us to the uttermost. You've given us permission to move past this. Oh God, would you do that and begin to start a DNA shift within us that allows us to be a place that is doing life together in Christ, being transformed. Please go before us, God. With a smile on my face, thank you for the food we're about to eat. Amen.